I want to tell you about our efforts, ongoing efforts, on heat pulse propagation in solid helium. It's a part of a search for new evidence for, say, superfluidity in supersolid matter. And it's in a collaboration with Yuki Aoki and myself at Rutgers. Okay, so it's the motivation, of course, is to search for a new mode of propagation in a supersolid. So we want to search for new evidence in addition to the torsional oscillator experiment. And we're motivated by some theories by Wayne Saslow and others on hydrodynamics of superfluidity in supersolid. Like a simple-minded model, it seems, based on a two-fluid model of the solid, that there should be sound propagation modes like second sound and fourth sound, similar to superfluid liquid helium. So we're trying to look for that using a heat pulse techniques. Okay, our experimental setup is very, very simple. We have a copper chamber. We fill it with solid, and on the upper side we have a heater, which is basically a thin metal film of some resistance, and we apply current to it, and that's how we generate heat pulse. We measure the propagation by a bolometer, which is basically a sensitive thermometer, resistance. It's a superconducting edge thermometer, so resistance changes fairly rapidly, and we detect the resistance change. We operate on a constant current mode. Current is the same. So if the voltage changes, it means the resistance change, and we can translate the temperature. We have some packed powder to enhance the thermal contact to the mixing chamber of the dilution filter. Okay, here's our sort of overall view of our signal. Over the rather long time scale here, over 10 milliseconds, the heat pulse is applied right over here at t equals zero, anywhere from half a microsecond wide to 10 to 20 microseconds wide. So I'm just looking at the overall time response, and we've been looking high and low for any signature of a superfluid-like or some signature that appears peculiar or anomalous, say somewhere below 100 millik or so. 4 milliseconds would correspond to about a 1 meter per second propagation velocity. I forgot to mention the distance between the bolometer and the heater was about 4 millimeters. What is the velocities that are expected? It is expected, if it's like fourth sound, maybe it should scale as a square root of rho s over rho. So rho s over rho is quite fairly small, 1% or so. So we might expect some propagation velocity on the order of several meters per second, or 10 meters per second or something. So that would be somewhere in this region, but we, of course, expand this and look everywhere. Well, we
have... It's so slow, right? I don't... Why is it just a few meters a second?
Well, if the fourth sound velocity is like in liquid, it would be square root of the rho s over rho times the acoustic velocity. So it's 10% of the acoustics, which is about 200 meters.
So is that expectation with one data. Did I remember correctly that you see a mobile?
Yeah. Okay. This is on a much longer time scale than John was saying. I will show you the short time scale data in a minute. So anyway, we look for, we haven't found it. Looks like there may be a qualitative change between this and this, but we have to be very careful about a bolometer response. It is a superconducting edge device, and it depends on the response of the bolometer. It depends on magnetic field, current you put in, and all kinds of funny things can happen.
So you monitor your arrival time, so that your ground is going to go up, but not a possibility for ejection. When you go to super scale, the thermoconductivity starts dropping down, so there may be kind of, very long phase, the motor is over there to begin with, it doesn't show up as any spike in your arrival time, but basically, overall magnitude of thermoconductivity drops down. Would you be able to tell?
Yes, we have looked for the the overall response time constant, for example, as a function of temperature. We don't see anything dramatic below 100 millik or even below 50 millik.
Are those exponential decays?
Almost, yes.
And does the time constant change from one
to another? Yes, the time constant gets shorter at lower temperature. Looks as if time constant might be close to T cube dependence, indicating that the some like heat capacity.
Are you using the same bias current at all temperatures?
Yes. Okay.
So the roll assumes the compressibility is the same in the normal solid and close to the solid.
And then you just take the two-fold equation and assume the whole thing works, and then you just take an estimate from the with both the small s, and you just get more
over. We have our eyes open.
Basically, under a
milliwatt. Okay. Okay. So nothing is here so far. As I said, 56 bars. We have done at 36 bars as well. We haven't, we did something similar. Okay, so now let me focus into that, the early arrival time, where John mentioned, where he measures the arrival times. And here, I'm just plotting the voltage versus time. Here, it's only up to 40 microseconds or so. You can ignore this part, that's electronics. So we see this arrival time of 18 microseconds. So this, I think this was 36, a different pressure, actually. And velocity, it is still 56 bar. Velocity turns out to be very close to the slow transverse velocity, and the longitudinal mode that John mentioned should occur about half as the arrival time. So it should be around here. We don't see that. We're not detecting it apparently. And a transverse to the propagation direction.
Okay. What direction is the propagation?
In that earlier picture, it would be vertical up and down.
But is it crystal oriented?
It's crystal oriented.
No.
Or is it some crystal and you're going along C-axis?
Good question. If we could measure the longitudinal and two separate transverse modes, we might be able to be able to tell the orientation, but we cannot. So I agree with John's interpretation that the this strength strength of this mode is not related to focusing. In fact, I mean, even RSL is very different from jhana, and yet essentially all we see is the transverse mode. Maybe the fact that the transverse mode is very much stronger might be related to the fact that since transverse mode is slower, about half the longitudinal mode velocity, that the density of states of the phonon modes is much bigger by cube. And still, also there are two modes, the transverse mode. So longitudinal mode would be I've gone over already. Okay. So we look for any possible effect of the super solidity of this mode. And we do that by, how do we define the velocity? We just take the derivative of this and look at the peak position. And from this time, we determine the velocity. And I should mention that there is also an echo, very tiny, but we do see that. It's much smaller, probably because of the scattering and so on. Okay, and here's the temperature dependence. Low temperature, and eventually it sort of resembles what Jean was saying, they're seeing at higher temperature. So let's look at the, this is the derivative as a function of temperature. And from that, we get something like this. The dots are the velocity that we get as a function of temperature. So at low temperature, it sort of saturates to a certain value. And if this mode is affected by the presence of...
Yes.
This is a transverse mode. And that mode presumably would be affected by supersolid, superfluidity in the supersolid. And that's indicated by this purple line here. That's the sort of a scale that might be affected. Purple line is the rho s over 1 plus rho s over rho plus this velocity. And we don't see that. So far there's no... We don't see this shift, presumed shift due to the supersolid. Right. Oh yeah, this drop is consistent with what Aranamurti and Dines measured a long time ago. This line is kind of a interpolation between ballistic propagation and this hydrodynamic second sound in normal solid. Okay, so. Annealing, there was a lot of discussion of that. We tried that. We haven't seen much. We can't say much about quantitative. So what we want to do is we need to improve the bolometer sensitivity. At low temperatures, actually, the sensitivity goes way down. And we need to improve on that because it may be that we are overdriving the system and exceeding critical velocity and so on. Okay, so helium impurity is another thing we have to do. There are many things to do still. Okay, thanks a lot for giving me the time.